We're talking about how to make your family stronger. And we're making a 30-day commitment. And one of the things we did a few weeks ago was hand out these little blue rubber bracelets that say, I love my family. And they also say Family 30 on there. If you haven't got one of these, you can stop by the hub right out here as you leave the foyer, and they have a few left. Grab one of these and put it on. It's a great reminder so that you can remember, oh yeah, I do love my family. I forgot about that. I do love them. And even I have been working on my family, and one thing we've been saying is that your family culture and habits may take a while, but you can start changing the atmosphere of your family right now. And so part of the culture and habits have been these things that we've given you over the last three sermons. And if you've missed them, you can go back and get them online. This week, we just sent out a mass email to everybody in the church listing all those things that you can do with your family. And the one thing that's helped me with this bracelet as I have been hanging out with my kids and my wife is to turn off my phone, turn off my iPad, and pay direct attention to them. And so I've been convicted a few times, and I was on my phone. I'd look down, and I'd see, I love my family. In other words, get off of your phone, get off of your iPad, and love on them people and your family. Simple things like that, so important. So before we get going, I want to let you know that next month, which starts tomorrow, October's here tomorrow, but all throughout the month of October, we're going to be in a sermon series focused on the Holy Spirit. We're going to be talking about a ghost in October, but it is the ultimate ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. Yeah, come on. That we need in our life. And that's amazing to me how many people that are Christians, that are following after Jesus, that don't know much about the Holy Spirit, don't know that the Holy Spirit is here to guide us and lead us and power us. So we're going to be digging into that all throughout the month of October. I really encourage you to be here and learn and be filled. Don't just learn, but be filled, because Promised Land, we're a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led church, and we love the Holy Spirit. So we'll be talking about that next month. All right. Today, I want to talk to you about family roles. As you drove up into the parking lot today, which, by the way, I want to stop for a second and say, I know that this service is our fullest service. In fact, this service is pretty much full. So let me just make a little public service announcement. If there's anybody in this service that can start going to the first service or the third service, which that's either at 8:30 or 11:30, please do that. Be called. Be a missionary to the 8:30 service or the 11:30 service. They both have a little bit of space, but I'm sure, as you can tell, when you're leaving out of this parking lot, coming in, there's going to be some traffic jam issues, which I love at a church. Isn't that awesome to have traffic jam problems at a church? But I just know I don't want you to get the glory here at the 10 o'clock and then lose it in the parking lot as you leave. Okay? There's a parking lot up here. Do you know that? You can drive up Cowan Road. There's another parking lot up above here. But if you come at the 8:30, there's plenty of parking spaces. And 11:30 is pretty full, but it's not as full as this. So please make that move. Also, I want to let you know, First Wednesday worship is this coming Wednesday night. And we're going to have a great service. We always serve communion on First Wednesday service. It's passionate worship. Our founding pastor will be here, Kenneth Phillips, to speak to us this coming Wednesday night. We're also going to have Big Dog Catering food truck here and birthday cake, because it's Kenneth Phillips' birthday. So we have a birthday party here for him as he preaches to us. It's going to be great. All right, so that's Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. We have a great time for kids as well. It's a superhero theme for our kids Wednesday night. And, of course, our teenagers have stuff going on with Emilio. So that's this coming Wednesday. Okay, enough of the PSAs. When you came in the parking lot, you saw a sign that says, what's your role in the family? I want you to know and this is something we've been talking about this whole month, that God is the designer of family. God is the one who invented family. If it wasn't for God, there wouldn't be family. There wouldn't be anything, right? But family's not an accident. And God had a specific design in mind when he created family. And anything you experience or see now that doesn't match God's plan is a perversion or a corruption of something that was originally intended a certain way. And so, as I was just saying, you can change the atmosphere and the attitude of your family right now. And the way that we do that is not by doing things, it's by putting our faith in the creator of family and the designer of family. We can say, you know what, I'm going to leave out of these door here today and my family is going to be blessed by God. It's going to start looking more like God intended it to look. How can I say that? How can I have that positive attitude? It's not just me dreaming that up and just saying it's going to happen because I'm saying it's going to happen. It's because we're putting our faith in the one who created family and designed family. Amen. Amen. Come on, y'all didn't get up early, get dressed, fight the crowd, all of that in order to come to church and go to sleep, right? Amen. So let's change the culture and the attitude of our family. And let's put our faith in the designer and the originator of family. So what are the roles of family? What's it mean to be a dad, a mom, a husband, a wife, a kid? There's actually a role for kid. There's actually a role for parents. There's actually a role for spouses in the Bible. And this little picture is a meme that Erica likes to illustrate the role of kids and a mom. See, it says here, if you want to live, you have to obey me. Scripture, a little bit adjusted. That's the Erica Standard Version right there. She actually reenacted that with Avery this week and showed him the scripture. What does it mean to be a kid, to be a parent, to be a husband, or to be a wife? I want to remind you of what Joshua said. He was a leader of Israel back in the season where they were going into the promised land. They had left Egypt. They had lived in slavery for years and years and centuries in Egypt. And then they lived in the wilderness for 40 years. And now they were entering into the promised land that was filled with many different cultures, many different family models. And this is what Joshua said. He said, today's a very important day. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether it's the God of your ancestors beyond the Euphrates, or it's the God of the Amorites and the land in whom you're living. So you could serve the God of yesterday and all the world's gods of yesterday, or you can serve the gods of today, and your family could look like the gods of today. But look what he said to them. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that's the same decision that everybody in this room can make today. You have the choice. The Bible's given you the choice. If you want to have the family like the Kardashians or the Desperate Housewives, you can do that. If you want to get your family advice from Cardi B or Kanye, you can do that. You're laughing, but it's the truth. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to get our example from family, from the Word of God. It's not easy. It's not easy. Why? Because all those things I just mentioned, and some of you don't even know who those people are. It's okay. Your kids know. And they're listening to them. And so what you need to say is, as for me and my house, this is what I tell my kids and my family all the time. That's not how we're going to do it. They may live it that way. They can drive off a cliff. They can jump off. They can live that way. They can watch that. They can talk that way. That's not the way it's going to be in our house. As for me and my house, if we're the last one doing it, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to look to Jesus to be our example. And so steals don't act that way. Why? Because we're going to serve the Lord. That's not the way the steals act. That's what I tell my kids all the time. That's not the way we're going to do it. That's not the way we roll. All right, so that's scripture. What I want to do today is I want to read all my scriptures up front, all this scriptures up front, and then I want to break them down for you systematically, okay? Here's the first scripture, 1 Timothy 5 and 8. 1 Timothy 5 and 8. But if any provide not for his own, this is King James Version, but if any provide not, so if you don't provide for your own, especially those of your own house, he, everybody say he. He hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. It's pretty strong, isn't it? This is not the Old Testament. Some of those strong texts are in the Old Testament. This is New Testament. If any provide not, if there's any guy who doesn't provide for his family, he hath denied the faith. So he's not even a follower at all. If the rubber's not hitting the road with you providing, then don't talk to me about scriptures you can quote and how good you're living and all. No. You've denied the faith, and you're worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. Pretty strong. Hey, let's kick it off strong today. Amen. Okay, let's keep going. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But there's one thing I want you to know. The head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. 1 Corinthians 11:3. The head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. So clear right there. Ephesians 5:22 through 24. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He's the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. And then the very next chapter, Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, gives some roles for kids and parents. It says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well with you. That's that picture you saw earlier. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well with you. And if you'll have a long life on the earth. That's so important. That's the word of God. What I just read to you all was New Testament word of God, the design for family of God. I actually missed a scripture in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, that prefaced or preceded the part about wives submitting to your husbands. It says that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And how did that happen? How did Christ love the church? So much that he died for the church. That's so important. Look at this chart here. Look at this little visual picture of what the scripture said. Who's at the top of family? There's another way to look at this. This is one way of looking at it where it's up and down, but you could also flip it on its side as well, be the same type of thing. Christ is first, so Christ is leading the way. Christ is at the top, Christ is the head. So the only way that this works is with Christ being at the top. Who's the Christ? Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. That's what he's saying there in that text. If you're curious about who Jesus is, Jesus submits. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 11:3. Jesus was not just a man, a prophet, or a teacher, or just a good person. In fact, he was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. He was submitted to the Father's way. He was in submission to the eternal God. So Christ is Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ is the leader of the family. That's so important. None of this works if Christ is not the head of the family. Everybody got that? It doesn't matter if the man or the woman or the kids are leading the family. If Christ is not leading the family, all the rest is a mess. And I've seen families where a husband is leading, a wife is leading. I've seen family where children are leading the family. Y'all seen a few like that? Children dominate. Children get whatever they want. Children make the decisions. And they wouldn't admit that. The parents wouldn't admit that. But reality is they're manipulating everything and changing and leading the family by their wants. All right. So that's not God's plan. This is God's plan. But here's the deal. That's the ultimate picture. That's the beautiful design for God's family. If you were to look at your family right now, it probably looks a little different from that. So instead of scrapping this and saying, let's just find a new way, what we want to do is start walking toward God's plan. If there's any part of this that's not lining, if there's any part of your family right now that's not lining up with God's plan, I want to encourage you as your shepherd, as your pastor, to not try to reinvent the wheel. God invented a perfect family structure, and we don't have to try to make excuses. We don't try to have to figure out something better or different. We can just submit to God's way. We can submit to God's plan. Okay, so let's walk through each line of this. The first one is the male, the father, the husband. What is the role of a father and a husband? The Bible was laying it out there already for us, and I'm sure you heard it, but let's just simplify it into a couple sentences. The father protects the family, provides for the family, and leads the family. The father protects the family, provides for the family, and leads the family. I want you to think of it like this. This is more about responsibility than it is authority. God's not calling the man to be some authoritarian that sits up on the throne and snapping his fingers and like, bring out the food, bring out the tortillas and all that while everybody's waiting on him. That's not what Scripture's saying. Sorry, guys. The father is ultimately responsible for the family. God has called you and instilled inside of you certain characteristics as a man to fulfill for your family. And I want to really look at Jesus to know how to be a father for my family. And that's how we all should be, men. How do we become the man that God has called us to be? Let's look at Jesus. Remember, Scripture says that we should love our family as Christ loved the church. What did Christ do for the church? Christ gave his life, sacrificed his life for his family. Look at what Christ did the night before that. The night before all that happened, he was with his disciples in the upper room, and the cross was him ultimately submitting to the Father's plan of the death on the cross for our sins. That was Jesus submitting to the Father. But look how he leads the disciples, the people who are sinners, messed up, the ones that are about to betray him and abandon him. How does he lead them? He gets on his knees, he puts a towel around his waist, and he gets a water basin, and he begins to wash the feet of the people he's leading. He had every right not to do that. But that's what Jesus did. Now, washing feet is disgusting. It's disgusting in any culture, any generation, wherever you live, whether you just got a manicure, a pedicure, and everything else, it's still disgusting. But in Jesus' day and time, it was even worse. They didn't have socks and shoes. Many went barefoot. None of them had socks. Open-toed shoes or barefoot. And they didn't have just beautifully manicured streets. They're often muddy. They often had animal excrement all over them. Donkeys and horses and camels and everything walking. So this was a position of a servant. In fact, when Jesus knelt down to wash Peter's feet, Peter rejected it. He said, no, there's no way you're going to wash my feet. And this is a role for a slave. This is a role for a servant. No, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, no, if you want to be a part of me, then I want to show you this is how you lead people. This is how you have responsibility and authority over people, is that you get on your knees and you serve them. Father, Dad, are you hearing me, dads? You hear? Oh, come on. Dad's on this side. Amen. Yes, Dad's on this side. Amen. That's right. Serving. God has put a lot of responsibility on you. But we're not going to use that to get our own way. We're going to use that to pass on God's way, to be humble, to serve. So we should be serving our family. We should be giving up our life for our family. That's what you did when you dated, right? You let your girlfriend do anything she wanted. You opened every door. You went to every bad movie that she wanted to go to and ate all the food she wanted. I mean, that's what we do when we're dating. But for some reason, when we get married, all that shifts into something else. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is for us to continually protect our family, provide for our family, lead our family through serving. Okay, let's talk about moms. What's the role of a mother? The mother provides comfort, teaching, and nurturing for the family. And let's just be clear about this too. I want to make sure you know this stuff I'm talking about is not who's making the money, not who's working the job, not who's cleaning the dishes, not who's fixing the dryer and all that kind of stuff. Okay, that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about things that God has put in each one of these that is unique and special. And let me break it down even further. What's happened over time is that the modern society has tried to say that there's absolutely no difference between a female and a male. In fact, you can choose what you want to be. Just it's up to you whether you're a male or female. And that's not God's plan. That's not God's design. God designed male and female uniquely different, but listen, absolutely equal to each other. Equal yet distinct. And what's happened over time is that because the average male is taller and stronger and has physical power over females, they have used that honestly to control, manipulate, and cause women in some societies to be even like property, which is totally against God's will and God's plan. That's not God's plan. That's not God's will. And so what modern society has done to try to correct that sin is throw out all of God's plan and say, there's no different. Everything's actually the same, and there's no distinction or difference. That is insulting God's creation. And you don't have to do that in order for them, man and woman, to be equal. We are equal. Our value to God and should be to each other is that we're equally important and meaningful as male or female. But at the same time, we have uniqueness that God has put into us that is powerful. The mom, when I look at my wife and her ability to connect with our family, she does it in a way that I am not able to do. And I am often jealous of her ability to lead our family and lead our kids in a way that God has instilled inside of her. And I can try to mimic that and mirror that and fake that, and the kids just sniff it out, and they just know. What are you doing, Dad? Right? So the mom has a unique place. The dad has a unique place. Mother and wife is to fill the home with love and create an atmosphere where this family can grow and fulfill its purpose. And I want to say to moms and to dads, your most important role is to raise your family in God's plan and God's way. Sometimes men and women say, I want to make a difference in the world. I want to go out and do this, and I want to change that. I want to make the best way you can change the world is raise a family that fears God and loves God and is designed according to his purpose. That changes the world. Okay, what's the role of children? What does the Bible say about the role of children? Children, you have the easiest role. Sit back, relax, and obey your parents. That's what you're supposed to do. Children have the easiest role. The word tells you to obey and honor your parents. And that's not the natural inclination of any human being. Submission is not the natural inclination because we feel like we're giving up our rights. But we look to Jesus as our example. And fathers, kids should be looking at their fathers as an example, a personification of the gospel. They should be looking to their moms as an example, as a picture, as a symbol of God's love for us. So kids, y'all listening, all the kids that didn't go to Sunday school, but you're still living in your family's home. I mean, we're all kids still, right? So we all should be still listening to our parents if they're still around and listening to them. But honoring our parents, listening to them, obeying what they have to say. Here's something that kids just can't realize. Your parents already lived your age. They already were 12 and 14 and 20. And how they already were your age. And yeah, it was different. Yeah, there was no internet back then. Whatever. The world is really not that much different, though, when it comes to learning and growing and discovering who God is and discovering life and discovering romance and learning how to go to school and learning how to study and all these things. So kids, just, if I could just say one thing, just shh. Just there's going to be a time for you to speak up. We're going to ask you your advice from time to time. The older kids get, we want to hear what you have to say. We want to hear your contribution to the family. We'll take your thoughts into consideration. But for now, just shh. Oh, the kids, you're not going to like that, I know. But parents, yes. What's the role of parents? Every parent, we've got to realize our role is twofold. The first one is this: teach your kids about God. Teach your kids about knowing God, loving God. And that's what I'm saying, being an example, being a picture. And then the second thing is prepare them with real-life skills. That's so important, preparing them with tangible skills that they can learn and grow in and be a part of the world today. So teach them to know about God. And let me just share with you one way to do that. A great way, parents, to teach your kids about God is to display forgiveness. And I'm not talking about some ambiguous thing. I'm talking about when your kids stumble and fall and sin, and it's something that they're really struggling in, and they're already feeling the grief in it and the remorse in it. One of the best things you can do is display the grace of God and the truth of God, just how Jesus did, full of grace, full of truth. And if we can show that to our kids, then they will get to know God before they get to know God, because they've seen it in us. And so there's been a few times in our marriage where Erica and I have been able to display that forgiveness and that mercy. And what a beautiful moment that is in our family, in our household. Say, this is how God is. This is who God is. This is how God works. And so we want to show you this godliness. And so it's not just, you got to memorize 2 Corinthians, that scripture that says you got to obey your parents. That's not how, I mean, it's good to learn scripture, but that's not it, okay? Displaying it, showing it. Letting them see your example. And then teaching them real life skills, like how to manage money, how to save, how to invest, how to give financially to God, and displaying those lessons to your kids are so important. Teaching them how to work. We don't come out of the womb wanting to work, do we? No one is born with a work ethic. It has to be taught. And I'm so thankful that my family taught me how to work. And I remember as I started going to the job site, the construction site, when I was 12 or 13, every day in the summer. And I remember so clearly that, wow, there's an acorn right here. Things you see at church, an acorn. I remember so clearly my dad had given me this job to do, to put, this was a construction site, so there was all these bolts on the slab that the wood was attached to, and I had to take washers and nuts and put them on these bolts. So I got the bag of them, and I went to the first one, and I got it out, and I started putting it on like this. And I'll never forget my dad coming over there and saying, "Get off your rear end. That's not how you work around here. That, you don't ever sit down on the job. Never sit down on the job. Get on your knee. I want to see you getting that. You know." I remember sweeping. I had all the jobs, all the grunt jobs, you know. Sweeping the concrete slab, and so I had it was a push broom, and I remember just pushing it. Y'all already know what happened. He came over there, "You better not be, you gotta get that broom." You're doing a dance when you do that broom. Teach me how to work. So here's what we need, people. We need husbands that are sold out and submitted to God. We need wives fulfilling their roles. We need parents leading and kids following. And I'm telling you what, when we start having more and more families living out the family of God, the design of God, it doesn't matter who's on the Supreme Court. It doesn't matter what laws are passed. It doesn't matter if there's prayer in school, because there'll be prayer at the house, right? There'll be prayer. The family unit is the found. Tim was just in worship saying that the church is the hope of the world. It is. But the church is nothing if there's not family units in the church, right? So the foundational unit that's going to change the world is the family, living according to the plan of God and the word of God, and then letting that life just be poured out across the country, across the world. And when churches have families that are living according to God's plan and God's way, then drug use goes down, brothels close, alcoholism, abuse, all these things that we're trying to change and get better and learn new things. No. If the family and the church would just be who God has called us to be, it would solve the issue of the pain and suffering of the world. Amen. Erica, do you have anything to add? Come up here. In the first service, I gave her an opportunity to come correct anything that I have said. What are your thoughts?
Wow. Good morning. I think one of the things that always sticks out to me, I think that the scripture in Ephesians for women can sometimes feel like submit to your husband. Oh, there sometimes can be a negative connotation with that, because if you didn't grow up in an environment where that was a healthy example for you, there's a fear that that's going to somehow get abused. I grew up in a family where my mom was raised in a home with an abusive father. And then my father left, and she was a single parent raising me. And so there was no example of submission, and the only example she had before was abused. And so it taught me this, like, well, I've got to fight for what I want, and I've got to be really independent and strong, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. And so I didn't have any healthy perspective on what submission looks like. And this whole the biblical perspective is that first there's this healthy relationship that the husband has with God, And that then flows into the relationship. And in our relationship, it was this learning to trust God and Him showing me that you had a healthy relationship with Him.
Yeah.
And
so I came from a different family background mm-hmm. than you, but then we did get married mm-hmm. and we both had a vision of where we wanted to go.
Yeah.
But then there was the rubber hitting the road mm-hmm. of situations where we would disagree.
Right.
And then there was this, okay, what are we going to do?
Right. And I felt like I had to fight, like we disagreed. Well, I got to fight for what I want. I gotta tell you exactly what I think. And
then I would have to resist the temptation of, she's saying these things, so she's not submitting to me. And so I've got to get stronger to make sure she mm-hmm. submits to me. Mm-hmm. And then she would get stronger and go, you're not going to be like that to me. And
it's true.
Wah, wah, wah.
It doesn't work out very well.
So what's the solution?
Jesus.
We're still, Jesus is the solution. And as soon as we follow those steps that mm-hmm. we gave a couple weeks mm-hmm. ago of listening,
yeah,
being humble, right. being submitted to God first, mm-hmm. allowing that faith in God mm-hmm. to work through our humanity,
right.
We started to see the fruit of the biblical model.
Yeah, right. And there was this two things. I think there was this this awareness that, like, God just showed me. There, like you were saying earlier, it's not our we are different but equal. And one thing that was important for my heart was that God really showed me, if He's not asking you to do something immoral or harmful to you or your family,
which, for clarity, I
never
didn't do
has
that.
Done.
Okay.
Never has done. But I think that was a lie I was believing, that somehow if I submitted, this was, I'm giving up something. Helped me to say, I can trust Him, and that is His role as our leader, as He's following God. And not only can I trust that, but more than anything, I can trust God that He, even if for some reason, Robin in His flesh made some decision that wasn't quite the best decision, that God is faithful and can redeem that, and I don't have to be in control of that.
Mm.
And that is what
that's a huge place
peace.
To be.
Yeah.
I mean, submission is not easy for anybody. But at the same time, it brings safety.
Yeah.
Because that means someone else has to answer last, not you.
Yeah.
And so, thank you for sharing. Yeah. That was helpful. How about you pray? Let's pray right now. And let's pray for all kind of folks. If you're single in here and you are looking to be married someday, I hope you took a lot of notes. Because you want to find somebody that's going in the same direction before butterflies hit the stomach, right?
Yes.
You need to make sure you're looking for somebody, you're intentional about looking for somebody that's going in the same direction. Let us be an example. They don't have to have the same family background as you. They don't have to come from the same family. But as long as you're going the same direction, mm-hmm. we want to go in the same direction. And so, let's pray.
Yeah. God, we thank You so much for Your Spirit. Thank You for Your faithfulness. Thank You for Your Word that is a firm foundation to us, that is a light to our paths, God. I thank You that You're with each and every person here, God, that You long to be with us. You're following, chasing after us, God. I pray that every heart would be turned to You. I pray that
yes, Jesus.
Your word would be seeds in our heart,
yeah, Lord.
And that it would be fertile ground. I just pray that Your blessing would be on each person here, and that Your love would just wash over them and be with them today and throughout this coming week. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Let's pray right now for everybody and with everybody that is separated from God or not living with God right now. Maybe you've wandered off and have kind of just been on your own path for a while, or maybe you've never been living for God. Let's pray right now a prayer of surrender. And you can say the words I'm saying, or you can make up your own words, whatever. It's just a prayer of giving up and letting God take over. It's a prayer that says, God, you know everything and I don't. And I surrender to you, Jesus. So let's just pray. Lord, we give you our life today. I give you my life today. I surrender my heart to you today. I surrender my mind to you today. Please forgive me of my sin. God, everything that's in me that's not of you, I pray you, God, would help me with that. That you, God, would cover me. That you would forgive me, Jesus. I pray that you would help me with all my brokenness and my pain from my past. God, I pray that you would give me a bright future. Lord, that you would protect me and provide for me. God, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you as my Redeemer, as my Savior, as my Lord. And I make myself available to you. Fill me, Lord, with your power. Fill me with your strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, clap your hands right now and thank God. Yes, God. Thank you.
Hey, if today's message resonated with you at all, or maybe this is your first time here, I want to turn your attention just for a moment to the seat back in front of you. The chair in front of you, the back of it has some cards in there, and there's a few different reasons why. The first reason that there is cards there is because if you're a first-time guest, we want to get to know you. There's a little spot on the back for you to fill out some information. Or maybe you made a decision today. Maybe that decision was to follow Jesus for the first time. Maybe you made the decision today that your family is going to walk different than they ever have before. Just go ahead and check one of those boxes and fill out that information. Always, if it's your first time or you've been here for 15 years, we have a spot for you to put prayer request. We make sure that these get in the hands of the right people. We have women's prayer group, men's prayer group. Our staff prays over these cards. So take time. If there's something that we can be praying and agreeing with you about, fill it out. The word says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I believe if that's true, then maybe the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous church avails more. And so we want to be a church that prays together. Amen. Here in a little bit, we're going to pass the plates for offering. You can go ahead and drop this in there. But we're going to go ahead and take offering right now. We're going to ask that you prepare that. There's a few ways to give online at psmchurch.com. There's a give section. Also, you can text Promised Land to 73256, or you can give cash or check. There's also one way that's not on there. And we believe in leading by example. So as you prepare your offerings, I'll give with you as well. I'll give my offering today. We do have a Realm app. Looks something like this. If y'all don't have it, if you're on Realm, this is the easy way to give. At the bottom, it says giving, right? It has all your statements. And then there's a part that says make a gift. And then it takes you to this page. So as you prepare yours, I'll prepare mine. You select offering and the amount, $10 million. You can say one time or reoccurring, however that is. If you have your card already in there, then it'll take it. If not, you put that, hit give, wait a couple seconds, and there it is. It's that simple. So we say, prepare your offering, give, sow seed into good ground this morning, and I believe God will bless it. Can we pray over your givings today? Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We thank you for everything you've done, you're doing, and going to do. We thank you that you are faithful and that we put our treasure in your hands. And because your word says that our hearts will follow, we know that you're faithful in all that you do. And so we ask that you bless the givers. Bless those who trust you with their finances, with their hard work, and their earned money. And they just give back to you what's already yours. In Jesus' name, everybody says amen.